Hey there, this is Brian Zond, and welcome to my sermon podcast. I'm glad that you're interested in the sermons that I preach here at Word of Life Church in St. Joseph, Missouri. And if you ever feel inclined to help us by supporting us financially, you can do that at our website, WOLC.com. Thank you.
I get to close out our series on forgiveness today with a message entitled, Of Wolves and Lambs. We are learning to walk in the ways of Jesus, and so I'm so excited to be able to close things out in a message about forgiveness and reconciliation. I think this is going to help you. It's going to encourage you today. We believe in Jesus, yes? We believe that Jesus is the way, and so we believe in the ways of Jesus. We believe that this is the way to the good life. This is the way to eternal life, that is following and walking in the ways of Jesus. Jesus is not only a provider to be petitioned. Jesus is a king to be obeyed. He has plans of his own to set up his throne. And within this kingdom, King Jesus has a mission. He has a purpose. Jesus himself expressed this in John 12 when Jesus said, when I am lifted up, will draw all men to myself. Jesus was speaking about his coming crucifixion. That there at the cross, this is his throne. That Jesus would rule as king, not from the thrones of men, but from a cross. And Jesus said that when he is lifted up on the cross, that he would draw all men to himself. Now, Jesus, throughout his earthly ministry, talked about coming for the weak and for the vulnerable, and he came for the sick and the sinner. And yes, he is calling the wounded and the broken to himself, but not just them. Jesus says, I am calling not just the broken, not just the wounded, but I'm calling all people to myself. Jesus came as a fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. Isaiah, in two different places, well, it's in 1st Isaiah of Jerusalem, and then in 2nd Isaiah, later on, Isaiah of the exile, we see the same prophecy, we see the same metaphor. And in Isaiah 65, in verse 25, we hear the poet prophet speak these words that Jesus came to embody and fulfill. Isaiah writes, the wolf and the lamb shall graze together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. If we can today think about wolves and lambs, Jesus came to fulfill the poet prophecy from Isaiah that in the reign of Messiah, in the reign of King Jesus, wolves and lambs would come to eat together. This is the mission of Jesus, not just to save the lambs, those that are being devoured, the weak and the broken. Jesus also came to save the wolves too. Jesus came to save all of those who would come to him as he is lifted up, all those who would come to Jesus and acknowledge that he is king, accept his love and forgiveness. Both lambs and wolves would be welcomed into a world without hurt and destruction. This is the mission of Jesus. We could sum it up this way. The mission of Jesus is revolutionary because Jesus wants to save both the oppressed and the oppressor, both the abused and the abuser, both the offended and the offender, both the lambs and the wolves. All people are invited and welcomed in Jesus' saving embrace. This is the mission of Jesus. This is the ministry of Jesus. As we are walking in this way of forgiveness, we discover that the, the ministry and the message of Jesus is a ministry and a message of reconciliation. And as followers of Jesus walking in this way, we are invited into this mission of reconciliation. You know that word reconciliation, right? You got two friends. Maybe it's a husband and wife, maybe it's a mother and a daughter, maybe it's coworkers, but you have this friendship, you have this relationship, and something happens. There is hurt, there is betrayal, something goes wrong, and the relationship is broken, and the relationship is torn apart and torn in two. Maybe you've experienced that. Maybe today you're experiencing a broken relationship. And through different sets of circumstances, these two people who were once friends have become distant enemies, but then something happens and they come back together. And they begin to work on their problems and work on their issues, and things get resolved and they come back together, and we say that they are reconciled. This is a picture of reconciliation. When there are two parties that are broken apart and then brought back together, we would say that they are indeed reconciled. Now, as followers of Jesus, whose mission it is to save both the wolves and the lambs, we have been given this ministry, this work, this message of reconciliation. The Apostle Paul tells us this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul writes saying, all of this, all this new life and new creation is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us, the church, followers of Jesus, gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Think about it like this. We all, as humanity, we are the wolves, and God is the lamb. And we have done our worst to God and his ways, but because God is the Lamb of God came to take away the sin of the world. And in and through the death and resurrection of Jesus, with sin removed, now we are reconciled with God. And this is the first part of this ministry, this work of reconciliation, is for humanity and the Trinity to be reconciled once again in a relationship. But it doesn't end there. For those of us following Jesus, we are also given this task, this message, this ministry, this mission of reconciling broken relationships, so that it would be fulfilled, like Isaiah said, that wolves and lambs would come and eat together again. And we do this through the way of forgiveness. That's why we've been emphasizing that through this series, that there is a way forward, and it is the way of forgiveness. But today we're talking not only about forgiveness, but also reconciliation. Because you understand those are two different things. There is a way to reconciliation through forgiveness. That is possible, and I want to explore that this morning. But I don't want to miss the fact that you can walk in forgiveness without reconciliation. That is, if you find yourself a lamb, that is, you've been hurt by somebody, if someone has hurt you in some way, you can offer forgiveness. You can forgive them, and you can experience healing and peace and wholeness, even if that relationship is not reconciled. This last Wednesday during midweek, we heard the very courageous story of Christine Eckhart, a member of our church, a leader in our Celebrate Recovery ministry, and she courageously told us the story of sexual abuse, how she was abused not by one, not by two, but by three members of her family over an extended period of time. And you know how these stories go. It's a story of pain and sorrow, and then Jesus enters the story. And Christine told us how Jesus entered her life and did this work of healing and transformation. And so as she began to be healed, she learned the way of forgiveness and was able to forgive those who had hurt her so that she could live in healing and peace and wholeness. And if you weren't at midweek, you can get the story online in our sermon section. Christine's story is there. So proud of her for all of the bravery it took to tell that story. But in her story, she was able to forgive those who had hurt her, but there was no reconciliation. There was no continuing of the relationship. And it's good. I mean, it's a beautiful story, what's happened to her. But sometimes when we hear those stories, we wonder, well, is reconciliation ever possible? And I think that there is. I think Jesus gives us a way through forgiveness to find reconciliation. But here is the key. Here's what has to happen. If two broken relationships are to be reconciled together, both sides have to be willing to walk the way of forgiveness. So again, if you're the lamb and some wolf has hurt you, if you're to be reconciled, then you have to be willing to walk in forgiveness, but so does the wolf. And very often in our stories of brokenness, the oppressor, the offender, the wolf is not willing to walk in forgiveness. And if that happens, then we issue forgiveness towards them. We hold no ill will. We don't try to enact revenge against them. But then we also have to create some kind of emotional boundary. But if both sides, if both lambs and wolves are willing to walk the road of forgiveness together, there is a way of reconciliation. So how does this work? Let's start first by looking at things from the perspective of the lamb, right? The one who's getting devoured, the one who's getting hurt, the one who's getting offended. What does Jesus say that the lambs need to do? Well, let's look at the words of Jesus in Matthew 18. This is what Jesus says we should do. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you've gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge might be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Here's the words of King Jesus to the lambs. Jesus did not say, if your brother sins against you, go tell all of your friends about it. It's not what Jesus said. Jesus didn't say, if your brother sins against you, go tell your mom about it, because your mom will always listen and your mom will always take your side. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus didn't say, if your brother sins against you, just hold it in. Just keep it to yourself and deal with it privately on your own. And if Jesus could speak today, Jesus would certainly not be saying, if your brother sins against you, get on social media and tell the whole world about it. And Jesus certainly is not saying, if your brother sins against you, pull out your smartphone and rage text away. It's not what King Jesus says to do. Jesus says, if your brother has sinned against you, so you're the lamb and there's a wolf, Jesus says, you go tell the wolf their fault. This is where reconciliation begins. When lambs recognize that they have a responsibility to tell the wolf what they did. And this, I understand, is difficult. Now, please understand that if what has happened to you is a criminal offense, you need to tell authorities. You need to tell those who are in a position of authority. If it's a criminal offense, you need to tell law enforcement. Don't hold it in. Don't hide it. The glass wall of secrecy, particularly around abuse, physical abuse and sexual abuse and emotional abuse, that wall has been broken down. If you have been hurt and it's a criminal offense, we need to go right to the authorities. But if what's happened to you is not necessarily a criminal offense, if it is one of these more often offenses that happen in church life, oh yes, it does. In church life, we disagree, we offend each other, we sin against each other, or in family life or other relationships, the way forward is to start, if you're the lamb, by communicating, by talking to the person. And I say, you got to tell them face to face. Now, in having this conversation, I understand it's hard. If you've been hurt by somebody, it's really hard to sit down and tell them what they have done to hurt you. So I want to help you. I want to give you really clear communication on how to have this conversation. So lambs, if you're starting down this road of reconciliation and you're going to obey King Jesus, not me, Jesus, in telling your brother his fault, the best way to express it is like this. Say it this way. Your actions make me feel. That is, when you have this conversation, you name what the person did or what they're doing over and over. You name the action specifically without elaborating and adding to it, just specifically, when you did this thing or when you do this thing, this is how it makes me feel. And lambs, this is your responsibility to sort of figure out how to put words to your feelings. And sometimes I understand for some people that's difficult, because if it's not a habit of yours, if you have developed an unhealthy habit of stuffing down your feelings, and this is what we so often do. On midweek, in a week and a half, we're going to start emotionally healthy spirituality. It's a small group experience. It lasts 8 weeks that will give you the tools to begin to deal with your emotional life. But for so many of us, and I would say it was my story as well, I had a bad habit of stuffing my feelings down, particularly the uncomfortable feelings of hurt and pain. So if that has been your habit too, I know that this is difficult, and you might need help in forming those words. You might need to meet with a counselor or a therapist or a wise one, someone that you trust, to help craft the language. But when you tell your brother his fault, you name the fault, but then you spend the rest of your time just describing how that makes you feel. This is where it starts. Now, Jesus says, if your brother won't hear you, take someone else with you. And that's why. Sometimes you need a third party in these conversations. Sometimes you need a mutual friend, a sort of neutral party. Sometimes that could be a mediator or a counselor or a pastor or a therapist, but you have someone who can be with you to help you communicate. Not someone on your team to gang up on the wolf, but someone who can help you in communicating how you feel. So Jesus says you go tell them their fault. If they don't listen, then you take someone with you. If they still won't listen, then Jesus says you take them to the church. That is, you take them to the ecclesia, to the assembly. In Jesus' ancient Jewish world, that word church doesn't mean the modern idea of church. It means the assembly of those who are in leadership. So for us, it would mean that once you've told your brother his fault, if you won't listen, you take someone else with you, and then you can get church leadership involved to help you communicate to this person. And then Jesus says, if they won't listen to the church, then you treat them like a Gentile. And again, Jesus is speaking from a Jewish perspective. You treat him as someone who is no longer a part of the Christian family. Again, this is where you will begin a process of healing and offering forgiveness, but it also means that you create a little bit of an emotional boundary. See, the goal is for reconciliation, for lambs and wolves to come together, but if the wolf doesn't want to walk that pathway of forgiveness, you can forgive, but you must create some kind of emotional boundary so that they don't continue to hurt you again. Jesus never intended the way of forgiveness to be a way to continually be hurt over and over again. That's not the way of Jesus. You tell them their fault. You take someone with you. You go to the church. And if not, then you create a boundary. And then you work through forgiveness and healing so that you can be made whole. But it all starts by you communicating how you feel. Now, this is the perspective of the Lamb. And when we talk about forgiveness, this is normally the viewpoint, the vantage point that we're looking at. But I want us to try to do something else. I want us to try to see the road to reconciliation from the perspective of the wolf. Again, the lamb is the person who has been hurt. And the lamb's responsibility is to go to the wolf and say, your actions make me feel. Now, if you would go with me and try to think about things from the perspective of the wolf. That is, when someone comes to you and they say to you, your actions make me feel. This thing you did, it really hurt me. What do you do? The first thing that you do is you prevent yourself from offering a defense, because this is normally what we do. Normally, when someone comes and says that you've hurt me, your actions make me feel, our natural tendency is to want to defend ourselves, right? Oh, I didn't mean to do that. Oh, you misunderstood me. Or even worse, no, you're wrong for feeling. Why would you feel that way? I didn't. No, you misunderstood. No. Our tendency is when we're the wolf and someone comes to us to say, you've done something to hurt me, is to throw up this wall of defense. And if we stay entrenched behind our wall of defense, the next thing that we do is we fire off our missiles of accusation. So the lamb is coming to say, you've done something that really hurts me. And we were like, no, I didn't do that. Instead, I'll tell you why I'm mad at you, because of all these things you've done to me. And we fire off our missiles of accusation. Well, what does the lamb do? Well, the lamb just does the same thing from the other perspective. The lamb throws up a wall of defense and starts firing back missiles. And the missiles just keep flying back and forth, and the relationship stays broken and separate. So when you are the wolf and the lamb comes to you and says, your actions make me feel, the best thing to do is to not talk. And that is to listen to what they're saying and seek to understand where they're coming from. And again, this can be hard because, again, we have unhealthy habits of communication and talking. I know this is hard. They're saying all this stuff and you start feeling a certain way and you want to defend or you want to attack back. But we sit as wolves and we just listen and we try to understand. Now, you may not understand. And if you don't understand, because that happens, that happens a lot. Because again, these type of situations, they occur all the time. I mean, just in church life and family life. I often think back to a time when Jenny and I were first married, and I was a young pastor, and I was a youth pastor in South Georgia, and we had this ongoing conflict. And she's not here. She's working up in elementary, so I'm free to say whatever I want. And you always got to get with her on the other side of the story, but this is my recollection of the story. So I was a young pastor, and still today, by my personality type, I identify as an Enneagram 3, so I'm very goal-oriented, and I like to accomplish tasks, and I do not like being interrupted. I'm growing in God's grace. I'm a little better at that today, but still, I don't like being interrupted. And so she would call me. Now, we had two young children at home, so Jenny's a stay-at-home mom with these two little munchkins. Almost said demons. That would have been bad. These little munchkins. You know, and she just desired adult conversation because, you know, it's like the little kids and then it's like, you know, Bert and Ernie or, you know, whatever is on TV. And so, and it was like, she just wanted adult interaction. So she'd call me just to see how I was doing. And she would call me at my office when I would be in the zone and I would be working and I would try to get stuff done. And she'd call and I'm like, Yeah. All right. Okay. And I was always being real short with her on the phone. And I remember one time she addressed the issue. And she said, you know, when you're short with me on the phone, it makes me mad. And it really makes me feel distant from you because I just wanted this connection. Now, the whole time she's trying to explain how she felt, I'm mounting my defenses. I'm like, what? I have work to do. I'm the sole breadwinner. This is my job. Not only is my job, this is the worst thing for a pastor. I'm working for the Lord. This is God's work, and you're interrupting. So I just mounted my defense and then shot back, you know, all my missiles back at her. It wasn't until I finally stopped talking and just listened. And as I listened, I began to ask questions because I didn't know what her day was like. I didn't had any idea. And so I'd ask questions. So you want adult interaction, and what's it like to be a stay-at-home mom? And she started telling me the stories of these munchkins. And I thought, dear Lord. So in this situation, I was the wolf because I had been short with her on the phone and really hurting her feelings and making our relationship not healthy. And so I was the wolf in the situation. And I would just listen. And I asked questions. See, as you're listening, ask, not only ask questions, but ask loving questions. When you're in a conflict and you don't know what else to say and you don't understand, just ask a loving question. That's always the way out. And I have to emphasize, it has to be a loving question, you know, because wolves can ask questions like, why are you so stupid? Not a loving question. That's another missile. So you're the wolf. They're telling you how they feel. Ask loving questions until you can see things from their vantage point. When she started telling me about cleaning up after these children of hers, I mean ours, eating a lunch of the crust from the peanut butter and jelly sandwich, I thought, man, I can't believe I've done this. And so I understood where she was coming from. Now, wolves, once you have heard and you've listened, and you can really understand where they're coming from, now you have three things to say. I would say write these things down, but you can memorize them. This is it. This is the way of reconciliation for the wolves. Three things. We'll wrap up with this. Three things that you need to say. Number one is, I understand. When you say, I understand, you're expressing empathy. And again, when you say, I understand, you may not agree with them. And this is interesting for wolves. You may not agree that your actions really hurt them, but it doesn't matter at this point because we're working towards reconciliation, bringing this relationship together. So when you say, I understand that me doing that really hurt your feelings. When you say that, you are validating their emotions. You're saying, I see your pain. I see that it's real. And I see that I had a hand in creating that. So number one is you say, I understand. Number two is, I'm sorry. I am sorry. The apology that we're all looking for. I'm sorry. Now, saying I'm sorry is good, but listen to me, it's not enough. And this is where most people stop. Most wolves stop by saying, I'm sorry. And listen, in the ways of Jesus, it is not enough to end by saying I'm sorry. And I'll tell you why. What's the common response when someone says I'm sorry? And this is not a rhetorical question. I mean, I want to know. If I come to you and say, I'm sorry, what's the typical response? Thank you, the three of you who participated. The typical response to I'm sorry is, it's okay. Right? Isn't that true? If you say, I'm sorry, the typical response is, it's okay. It's not okay. The lamb has spent all this time and work and energy into expressing how they feel. Their pain is real. So for the wolf to say, I'm sorry, and for the lamb to say, it's okay. That's not leading in the way of reconciliation or forgiveness, because it's not okay. Forgiveness is not saying that what they did was okay. Final step, and it's a question. Again, asking loving questions. Statements can sometimes push people back. Questions bring people together. And so the final thing that the wolf needs to say is a question, and it's the four most important words in coming to a place of reconciliation. It's a question, will you forgive me? This is the way of Jesus. This is the way of forgiveness. And listen, it has to come from the wolf. I understand that I've hurt you by my actions. I am sorry. Now the question, will you forgive me? And then hopefully then the lamb is in a place where the lamb can say, yes, I forgive you. And the wolf and the lamb can come together. And then the final stage of reconciliation is the wolf and the lamb sit down to graze together and they have a conversation together. How can we live life differently? The wolf says, I don't want to continue this habit of hurting you. You've offered forgiveness. Now, how? Let's make a plan. How can we live life differently? This is the road of reconciliation. This is the way forward where wolves and lambs can come together. This is the ministry of reconciliation that we've been given by Jesus. And if we will put these things in practice, then we as believers in Jesus Christ will be an example of the greater world on how to walk together in forgiveness. Amen. Let's prepare ourselves now to come to the communion table, where we are invited to come to a table of reconciliation. Where, think about it this way, the wolves of the world did their worst to the Lamb of God. And the Lamb of God took all the sins of the world and took it away. And the Lamb of God offers a way for wolves and lambs to come together. And so in just a moment, we're going to invite you to come to this table. And there will be someone standing with a basket of bread, and they'll say, the body of Christ broken for you. Believe that it is, and take that bread, and someone will be holding a cup, and they'll say, the blood of Christ shed for you. Take that bread, dip it in the cup, and taste and see that the Lord is good, that He's full of love and forgiveness. Because this is the moment where Jesus becomes very present to us. Because when we say this is the body and blood of Jesus, we're saying it because it is. This is the body and blood of Jesus. And I know when I say that, for some people, you're like, well, that's not Jesus. That's bread and that's juice, wine in the cup. We say wine, but it's juice. You know how it works. You'll look at, no, it's just bread. No. This is the body and blood of Jesus. See, I could take out my phone and I could show you a picture of my family on my phone and say, hey, here's a picture of my family. And some of you would be like, that's not your family. That's just a phone. That's just a photograph. But most of you won't do that. If I show you a picture of my family and say, here's my family, you're not going to say, that's just your phone. You'll say, oh, look at your family. What handsome young men. In the same regard, when we invite you to the communion table and you hear someone say, the body of Christ broken for you, the blood of Christ shed for you, believe that it is, because this is how Jesus makes himself present. Stand up with me if you would. We're going to pray a prayer of confession together. And in doing so, we're going to confess that Jesus is Lord, and we're confessing our sins. We're confessing that we are the wolves who are in need of forgiveness from the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We'll have the words of this prayer on the screen, and I'll invite you, church, to join me.